Boy, it is a honor and a privilege to be here again this morning. I am especially excited this morning to bring a message that I just know that God has put on my heart for this day. Over the last several weeks, we've been journeying towards a renewed vision of God's call on our lives. We've studied a new plan on evangelism where we invite folks so that they can first belong, so that they can believe and become what God has planned for them. And then over the last few weeks, we've reviewed three questions. Why do people need Jesus? Why do people need the church, capital C? And finally, why do people need Green Forest United Methodist Church? And in this journey, we've been taught, we've been questioned, we've been offered direction. And now it's time to move. The preparation for this message this morning has been ongoing for weeks, and the confirmation that it was the right message for today came in the form of the lectionary. Now, so for those who don't know me or know much about me, I'll let you in on a little secret. I am a closet traditionalist. I know. But just to be clear, I'm a traditionalist in that I like structure. And there is nothing more traditional to me than the liturgical calendar. It's a pattern to follow for discipleship and growing in our Christian walk. It's a very well thought through three-year march towards sanctification. And there's so much richness in that number three. I mean, even Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament, sat under a teacher after his conversion for 3 years. And remember, Jesus' ministry recorded for us in his word was also 3 years. So in this traditional calendar, today is the sixth Sunday after Pentecost, year B. And today's gospel reading, according to the calendar, is from the book of Mark, the sixth chapter. Now, half of that chapter we covered together a few weeks ago when we spoke about honoring each other. And the second half is what we're going to study today. And that's really what's been on my heart since we looked at those first six verses just a few short weeks ago. So please read along with me as we read God's word in Mark chapter 6, beginning with verse 7 through 13. And the word says, "He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except for a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on two tunics. He said to them, 'Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them.' So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God." Would you pray with me? Father God, open our hearts and minds this morning to your word. Fill this place with your spirit, O God. Move us this morning to action for your kingdom. Amen. So there's a ton to unpack in these six verses of scripture, and so much that is applicable, I think, to each of us listening this morning. So just a little background to get us up to speed. By this point in the gospel, Jesus has begun his ministry. He called 12 to work alongside him. He's been home, visited mom and the family, only to be not received with honor, but rejected instead. Scorned and scoffed at in his hometown. So what does he do next? he moves on. Verse 7 tells us that he called the 12 to himself and began to send them out two at a time. So who are these 12? I mean, if we're going to put ourselves in the story this morning to be sent out, living out our mission and calling, which one of the 12 are we going to identify with? I mean, we know there were several fishermen, just ordinary working folks with a family and a job, maybe a nice camel in the garage, a couple of kids, 401k. A couple of them were quick-tempered. One for sure was a revolutionist. One was a traitor. But they were all common folks. They lacked spiritual understanding. They lacked faith and commitment. They lacked power. They were constantly getting into trouble, missing the point of Jesus' teaching, and lashing out at people who were different. Saying the wrong things, pretty much just having problems and failures. Does any of this sound familiar? I think it pretty much sums me up. But okay, so what is the good news? Well, in spite of their weaknesses, God uses these men to turn the world on its end for his glory. And man, if he can use these people, he surely can use us. And that's the good news today. And so he sent them out in groups of two, which did fulfill the law for every testimony to be established by the words of at least two witnesses. And you can read that in Deuteronomy 17:6 or 19:15. By sending them out in two, it provided men with companionship, with a shared mission, with encouragement, and someone always to pray for them. So once we find our missions, we need to share and find someone to move with us. Now, in addition, he gave them power or authority, or maybe that's the same thing, because it was his power and it was his authority. They were to be him to all that they met. And so they moved and they preached with kingdom authority. You know, folks, this power is still available. And we need to be sure that we use it as we move forward. Now, he did give a few instructions, very specific instructions, in verse 8 through 11. So we'll go through a few of those. They were to take nothing with them for their journey except a walking stick, the shoes on their feet, and the clothes on their back. No script, which would be the bag here in this text. No money or food. Okay, God. A couple of thoughts for clarification I think need to be considered here. I mean, are we just to go without a plan? Or more so, are we to go depending fully on God? No need for special preparations. No, Jesus says, go. And he's still telling us to just go. Go with faith. Faith that he is the provider, that he will take care of them just like he takes care of us. I mean, remember, brothers and sisters, we're saved by faith. So wouldn't it make sense that we are called to move in faith? No need to overanalyze, really. Just move. I would be remiss if I didn't also say that I think that we need to see here a real sense of urgency. Jesus wants them to go and to go now. I mean, what are we waiting for? This sense of urgency is something that we as modern Christians can struggle with. And it can be debilitating. I mean, really, what are we waiting for? Someone else to move for us? Someone else to tell the gospel story and how Jesus changed their lives to our coworkers, to our family members, to the next person we bump into at the restaurant after service? I mean, who's going to give a blessing card to the waiter at lunch today? And who's going to leave those blessings in their pockets? You know, they were to wear their sandals, but not take two coats. So two coats would have meant in Jesus' day that they were rich. I mean, if you have two coats, right? No, he wanted common folks to go and meet common folks. Leave your wealth behind and meet people where they are. And I'm not just talking about a physical place here. In verse 10, he said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave that place. Boy, how times have changed. In the Jewish tradition, if there was a stranger at your door, you welcome them. In fact, hospitality is mentioned over 36 times in the Torah. I mean, can you imagine? Someone walks up to your house and you invite them in, feed them, clothe them, offer to let them stay. I mean, can we offer or extend that hospitality as a church? I mean, that's radical hospitality, I think, in today's culture. And I'm not making this up, folks. I mean, we read the text together, right? We're commanded to do it. Now, this next verse caused me some discomfort when I read it. And it was at first something that I really struggled about how to walk out. Verse 11 says, if any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them. So how does that apply to us today? I mean, if we look deep into the Jewish tradition again, the Jewish people would do this. They would literally take off their sandals and shake the dust off when they returned home from a pagan land. And they did this to disassociate themselves from the pagans and as a symbol that they didn't want to bring any of the pollution or the sin of that place back to the people in their own land. It was a visible sign not to bring that pollution home. Do you think we bring pollution with us sometimes? Let me use this example. So say you have a bad day at the office, for example, and that same spirit slips into your house with you, maybe to the dinner table because you forgot to knock the dust off of your sandals. You know, a wise man once told me in business that if you study and obsess over your competition and what they are doing wrong, you will soon look like them. So you have to knock the dust off. If we can't put brokenness behind us, if we can't shake off the dust, then we can fall into a trap. Sometimes we must simply forget yesterday and move on to tomorrow. Now, I don't make light of this, folks. I know that it's not easy to put things behind us. But the truth says that we have to knock the dust off and move forward for his kingdom. The truth says we have to knock the dust off and move forward for his kingdom. Now, if you thought that was uncomfortable, hear verse 12. So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. Repent. Now, this is a word that no one wants to hear. And frankly, no one does hear very often in today's world. To repent means to change one's mind for the better, to heartily amend one's past sins. It is really a change of mind that leads to a change in action. When genuine repentance takes place, the change in a person's life is radical and powerful. And for the most part, we are taught this in a negative way. Stop doing what you're doing. And again, brothers and sisters, that is truth. And sometimes the truth is offensive, but it is still the truth. However, repentance has a positive aspect as well. I mean, hear me now. Repentance looks backwards, but it also looks forward. Repentance says, I will stop doing those things that I should not do, and I will begin to do the things that I should do. I will stop living a life of sin and start living a life of holiness. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Repentance is good news. It's the first step in becoming new. And don't we want to help others become new? So now we get to the end of today's story and the fruit of the work done in his name. Verse 13 says, they cast out many demons and anointed with oil who were sick and cured them. You know anyone suffering with any demons today? Are you feeling called to help? I mean, what is your mission? And when will you go? How can we, brothers and sisters, here at Green Forest United Methodist Church, help you to go? How can we move in mission with you? How can we partner with you? To go, to be who God has called you to be in his kingdom. God has laid out the plan, and make no mistake, he's calling you to action. The question is, when will you go? I offer you this to you this morning in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.